Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to podcast number 2. I'm your host, Krusty Canuck. Today's episode will consist of the following. All the shots fired around the world, free speech and freedom of expression. So I'm going to weigh in on shots fired. Basically, what happened in New Zealand was atrocious. I'm not going to weigh in and theorize about the crime that was committed by that one individual with his own ultimatum and his own agenda. Anybody who breaks into any place of worship, doesn't matter if you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, if you worship lemons, I don't care. What I care about is that in every working democracy on the face of this earth, I personally believe that it doesn't matter what religion you are. You should have the right to eat, drink, and pray and do what you like in the name of your faith, in the name of mankind, in the name of humanity. And note that I said mankind. I didn't say people kind, because Mr. Trudeau, that is just stupid. Anyhow, what gets me is all the media hoopla about guns and violence, and yet no one really pays attention to the fact that people were killed, just murdered in cold blood. You know, it doesn't matter if they were shot, if they were ran over, if they were set ablaze, if they were blown up. You know, 50 people were killed, plus another 50 people were injured. How else do you dissect that? How else do you interpret that? You know, oh, we must ban guns. We must stop guns. Okay, that sounds good on paper, but in reality, what's it going to do? Somebody breaks the law, now everybody else has to pay for it. Whether he acquired those guns legally or illegally, he was a criminal. He is a criminal. He's locked up right now as we speak. And regardless of his manifest or not, he had intent on killing people. So whether he had access to firearms or access to a fast car or access to anything for that matter, he had intent on killing people. So this is my message to every gun owner out there, including myself, that hold on, stand fast, and know your rights. Now, in Canada, we don't have the luxury of a Second Amendment. We don't. Now, our history has proven otherwise, but that's for another episode. But we do have privileges in regards to acquiring firearms and knowing about firearms and how they work and all that good stuff. I spent 20 years in the military, so I understand the pros and cons of using a firearm proficiently, efficiently, and, you know, unofficially. Make a long story short, I know what I'm doing with guns. And every other firearm owner that I know, every other gun enthusiast, includes gunsmiths, and that includes machinists, and that includes people that procure said firearms and sells firearms, knows exactly what they're doing. So to my new listeners out there who think it's so easy in Canada to get a gun, guess again. I'll sum it up for you what it takes. Firstly, you have to take a firearm safety course or a hunter's training course or any kind of firearm safety course that is brought to you by your province. That's right, your province. And you're instructed by a qualified instructor, by someone who knows the ins and outs of every firearm, from shotguns to lever actions to bolt actions to semi-auto. Now, if you buy a semi-automatic rifle or a semi-automatic pistol in this country, in pistols, you're only allowed the capacity of 10 rounds per magazine. For semi-automatic rifles, you're only allowed a capacity of 5. Right? So you buy a magazine for said rifle, it's pinned, meaning the magazine has a pin in it, so you can't load any more than 5 rounds into it. So for you anti-gun lobbyists out there that are listening, that's the law. That's been the law since the 90s. You know, the same thing with pistols. You get a semi-automatic pistol, you only have a capacity of 10, because that's just the logical sequence for sports shooting. And that's why a lot of Canadian handgun owners, that's why a lot of them have handguns, because they're sports shooters or they're collectors, right? And they like shooting as a pastime. It's a pretty good hobby. And for those of you who have never actually fired a pistol on a range, it's it's quite Mecca. It's quite the oasis. It's quite peaceful, ironically enough. It can be very, very therapeutic. You know, there are people out there who like going to the driving range and hitting golf balls 300 or 400 meters. There are people who like going to the pistol range or rifle range and firing and trying to get their grouping at 300 or 400 meters. So it's quite therapeutic. So back to what I'm saying in regards to acquiring a firearm. Once you've trained, you have to get a oral examination and a physical examination. Not physical, I mean a written, sorry. Faux pas. A written examination, understanding the calibers that's available to the public, how to load, how to unload, what's safe, what isn't safe. Basically, how to prove your rifle or prove your pistol, whatever you may acquire. And if you do not pass that, then you basically have to do the whole course again from start to finish and rewrite your test. And it can cost you anywhere from $150 to $200 to $300 to do so. Now, once you've passed, then you have to register at the RCMP, which I think is still a $75 charge, and keep copies of all your examinations and all your papers to prove that you've taken your course successfully and you've passed. And then you mail your information into the RCMP, and which goes to Miramichi, New Brunswick. And then the waiting game begins. Some people wait a month, some wait 2 months. On average, you're looking at anywhere from 4 to 7 months for people to wait for their PAL, their license, their gun license, folks. And whether you do the restricted, which is certain rifles and most handguns, correction, all handguns, or if you do the non-restricted, which is basically bolt-action rifles and shotguns, or if you have a combination of both, that is indicated on your card, what you're allowed to buy, what you're allowed to own, restricted, non-restricted. In order to own a pistol, you have to be a member of a local gun club, right? So you can have your restricted, but in order for you to buy one, you have to join a gun club. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a tedious process when it comes to acquiring firearms in Canada. So for those of you thinking that Joe Blow down the road has a shotgun and you think that he shouldn't have it, well, I got news for you. It's none of your business. Because I'm sure he went through the training and the registration and the paper trail to get it done. And if there's any government officials listening to this conversation, you guys know better too. And if you don't, well, you should. You're in office, for crying out loud. Do the math. Right. I'm a gun owner. Am I a threat? I spent 20 years serving my country. I carried a rifle into battle. I carried a sidearm into battle. I had grenades on me. I had smoke grenades on me. I also carried a radio. Right. I was ready to go. And yes, I have fired my rifle towards the enemy in vain, in firefights, so I can handle myself very well when it comes to safety and when it comes to knowing when to use a gun, when not to use a gun. So for those of you out there who think that every gun owner in this country is nothing but a Neanderthal, well, you're the one that's lost in the dark. I'm not a Neanderthal. I can be aggressive, I can be a dick, I can be a prick, but I can also be sane and I can be safe. And I'm more than willing to show anybody out there how to use a rifle or how to use a pistol safely, efficiently, and properly. So that's my take on guns. You can disagree all you want, but you know, I personally disagree with people driving sports cars in the wintertime. It's none of my business, right? Why would you want to drive a $60,000 Corvette down Highway 14 in Alberta in the winter? Why would you do that? Huh? I don't agree with that. Why would you take in a big investment like that and then throw it aside? Yeah. I personally don't care if you have a Corvette, and I don't care where you drive it. You know, the point I'm trying to make is that what people do with their property is none of your concern. What I do with my property is none of your concern. What you do with your property is none of my concern, right? Whether I collect 6 guns or if somebody has 70 guns, right? So what does it matter? Is your life totally incomplete because something happens in New Zealand and we all have to sit in our hands and wait? It's terrible that people died. It's terrible that people couldn't pray in their own mosque, right? But that doesn't mean every mosque is threatened. That doesn't mean every church is threatened. Nobody talks about the 120 Nigerians that have been slaughtered, by extremists in Nigeria. No one talks about the 20-plus Catholics in the Philippines that got blown up, right? They were just minding their business. They were praying, right? Where's the outrage in that? Where was the outrage when the synagogue shooting happened in Pittsburgh there last year? Where was the outrage in that? Oh, we have to ban guns. We have to ban more guns. No, we have to take responsibility a little more, not just banning tools of the trade. You got to start persecuting actual criminals and start letting people know that, okay, this guy's a loony. What's he doing with a gun? All right? Like, our gun laws in Canada are a hell of a lot stricter than they are in the United States. So for the Canadians out there listening to my show, and you think, well, you know, guns are bad, well, you're entitled to that. Guns can be bad if they're given to bad people, right? If they're given to bad people, people are going to do bad things. People will take a drink and drive a car into a building or knock people down. Are they bad people or are they just confused, right? People taking upon themselves to, acquire illegal narcotics and get into a fist fight. Are they good people? Or are they bad people? Right? Is it the drug's fault or is it the person's fault? You know, the drunk driver that smashed into those people on the highway or smashed his car or her car into a telephone pole. Right? You gonna ban all cars? You gonna ban alcohol? They tried that in the 20s and look what happened. Right? So I'm saying, folks, is that, yeah, I can understand certain viewpoints and government viewpoints when it comes to controlling firearms. I get it. They gotta be locked up, gotta be looked after. You know, they gotta be respected like any tool. You talk to any carpenter or any plumber or any machinist out there, she or he is gonna tell you exactly what they do with their tools. They lock them up, right? Keep them secure because it's investment, it's part of their job, right? Any hunter is gonna tell you that he or she locks up their guns, their bows. You know, I lock up my guns. I don't leave them out in display for everyone to see. I don't walk around with a holster thinking I'm in bloody Texas in the 1880s. You know? Don't get me wrong. If I got any Texans listening, no offense to you Texans. I love Texas. I spent some time working down there when I was in the service. It's a great state. Good people. But I just used your state as a metaphor. I'm getting so tired of all this anti-gun lobbying, you know, and when you elect these officials to make good decisions when it comes to public safety, they have to keep the public informed. And they don't. They just come up with these hypotheses and think, well, that sounds like a great idea, great suggestion. Oh, yes, let's try it this way. No, let's not. No. If you're going to have a referendum on people leaving the country, let's have a referendum on public safety. And let's take a little more consideration and a little more know-how when it comes to who do we put in our cabinet, in our parliament, when it comes to the public safety of Canadians. Right. Bill Blair, I think you're doing a terrible job. Ralph Goodale, I think you're doing a terrible job. You have no idea. And considering the police background that you have there, Mr. Blair, above all else, you should frickin' know better. Right? How many gun crimes have happened in the city of Toronto when you were around as a chief, right? And how do they acquire said firearms? Well, 9 times out of 10, usually black market. You know, usually through a gang. But I guess that's your job. You know, you want to thwart gangs in this country. But then again, you'll suggest to our powers that be that every rural person and every gun enthusiast and every hunter and every sportsman has to pay the price because of a few thugs. Yeah, that's not right. That's not leadership. That's cowardice. It is cowardice for what the shooter did. It is cowardice for any man or any woman to walk into a place of worship or a place en masse and to begin shooting. It is extremely cowardice for an individual to do that. But to sit there and fight that crime by punishing people who have nothing to do with it is not right. It's the same mentality as, let's say, little Billy in grade 2 swore in class. Oh my God, the teacher didn't like him swearing, saying a bad word. Then the teacher turns around and punishes the whole class for what Billy did. Is that logical? No, of course not. I'm not going to tell you how to suck eggs, ladies and gentlemen, but come on. Let's start using some common sense and use some real some real, real rhetoric here. You know, let's get on point. Let's prosecute those who are actually guilty of a crime and stop persecuting gun owners. Stop persecuting Canadians that want that little bit of freedom that they've actually studied and paid for. Because really, when you go get your gun license in this country, you're learning how to do it, you're following the government standards, and you're paying for it. Right? Then all of a sudden, someone makes a decision because what happened across the planet, oh, well, we better stop this and we better start doing this because this is what happened here. Come on. A lot of rotten things happen in places of the world we have no control over. And personally, I don't think you're going to stop any gun crimes from happening by taking away guns from good people. I personally don't think you will. I don't think gun crimes will be thwarted or controlled because someone comes up with the idea, well, let's ban your purchases and then give them back up to us, and then we'll see if you're worthy enough to have them. No, I don't buy that mentality. I don't buy that logic. All right. I don't know. What do you think? If you have a suggestion or a comment, please comment in the comment section on the page. I'd love to know your take on it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'd love to know what you think about it. So please, yeah, send me a comment on the homepage or YouTube under Krusty Canuck. Or you can reach me at Facebook, Krusty Canuck. Or on my new website, you can reach me at www.krustycanuck.ca. Leave me a comment and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But for now, we're going to move on to the free speech aspect of this program. Getting on with, how free speech has supposedly been changing and how it's been compromised. I find it funny how in this country it's being compromised. And set examples of that would be, of course, the Jordan Peterson incident in 2015 or 2016, I believe, at U of T, where he basically said he's not going to use the preferred pronouns of a handful of individuals who have a hard time understanding who they are. Excuse me. And the shitstorm that followed after that. You're finding it all over the world. There's a lady in Britain, a journalist, who has been investigated by the police for misgendering somebody. I think I made a point of that in my last episode, in the identity episode, about misgendering. What do you do? In the military, if you did not call someone sir, who happened to be an officer or sergeant major, then, well, you got punished for it, right? That was rank and file. That was discipline. That was code of conduct, right? Some of the people I work with have retired now, and I'm on a first-name basis with them. Why? Because, well, firstly, they're not officers or sergeant majors anymore, and I'm not an NCO anymore, so I don't expect them to call me Sarge. I don't expect any civilian to call me Sarge. You know, I was a sergeant, but I'm out. So you can call me Krusty. You can call me Johnny. I don't mind. You know, you can call me sir if I'm at a restaurant with my wife and you want to show me the wine list, you know, or if you're showing me what's the appetizers for the evening. But I'm not going to give anyone a hard time for misspelling my name. And I'm definitely not going to call anyone a bigot or a racist or a misogynist or a misandric because they don't call me sir. Now, I don't know the whole story about this this lady in Britain. I'll leave a link there at the bottom of the page for you to look up. But it looks ridiculous, right? Especially because it comes from Britain. And I'm a little disappointed. If I have any listeners out there from Britain, please correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't know. If any policemen come to my door and try to investigate me for misgendering somebody, because said person who was gendered had an issue, well, I just tell them to go fuck their hat. Well, like, how's that a crime? You know, I'm not denying anyone's right to live or anyone's right to be or whatever, but if you feel that the state should take its time to prosecute somebody who didn't call you ma'am when you identify as a female, or call you sir if you identify as a male, or whatever identity chronology that's out there. You're wasting people's time. Now, but back to Jordan Peterson. Apparently, according to some news reports from GadSad and from Spencer Fornato, I believe, I'll leave the links on my page. His honorary doctorate, or some kind of citation he received from Cambridge, was rescinded and pulled back because there are some students at Cambridge in the UK that feel that Dr. Peterson is a danger. He's a dangerous person because he doesn't respect their feelings. Oh, God. Oh, come on. Cambridge is one of those institutions that dates back to Sir Isaac Newton. You know, the guy who discovered gravity for us? Kind of opened the door to physics as we know it. You know, also the home of Stephen Hawking. You know, a genius. And I don't know much about the English school system, the English educational system, or the British educational system, but I know you need top marks, and you got to be sharp as a whip, and you got to have a lot of money to get these institutions. All right, it's not cheap, but for an institution of that standard and that nobility to all of a sudden rescind any kind of certification or any kind of respect or appreciation to Dr. Peterson, to me, it's pretty shitty. No. I know I should be using bigger words, ladies and gentlemen, but how else do you explain it? How else do you explain piss-poor performance when it comes to academia and political leadership in both of our countries? Shitty. How else do I say it? Shitty. Right. So hats off, Dr. Jordan Peterson, for fighting the good fight. You got my support, Doc, if you're listening. No, give me a shout if you can. But it just seems that every day we turn around. It's like freedom of speech is getting smaller and smaller and smaller in the minds of the masses because nobody wants to get their feelings hurt. Life is hurt at times. People are going to say things to you that you're going to disagree with. People are going to say things to you that will insult you. And yes, some words can hurt your feelings. But you're not going to wake up the next day after being insulted and have a seventh toe or a wart in your nose. Or, you know, you're not going to grow a tail and grow horns. You're going to suck it up and carry on like the rest of us. It's called resilience, folks. All right. No one's saying anything racial. No one's saying anything sexist. Right? There's a time and place for debates and a time and place for dialogue. But when you just sit there and you try to silence someone for speaking their mind, you're only adding to the problem. You're only creating more tension. And you're only creating more division. There's a lot of people I disagree with every time I turn on the news. Well, sometimes I get so mad at what I see when it comes to Parliament with what they're doing with the SNC-Lavalin case and how some politicians, you know, I think should say more or do more, and how the opposition does this and opposition does that. And I end up, you know, I'd be sitting there screaming at the television and my wife would have to say, "What the hell are you doing?" Here I am screaming at an inanimate object. They can't hear me. But they're starting to wake up, though, which is good. Which brings me to my freedom of expression part of the show. The politicians are listening because you got the people like the Elvis on the move, who last month were in Ottawa, basically telling Trudeau and his cronies, enough is enough. And to any of my listeners out there that believe the Elvis are anti-immigration, you are wrong. We're not anti-immigration. Now, I'm not a yellow vest yet. I support them. But I haven't worn the yellow vest as of this moment, but I believe in what they're doing. And they've come from all walks of life, ladies and gentlemen. They are not racists. They are not bigots. They are not fascists. I know you guys like to throw that word around like it's trendy. No. They're, to say the least, they're pro-democracy, they're pro-immigration. But they want the Canadian priorities to be looking after Canadians. And that's all Canadians of all walk of life. Right? If you look deep into every yellow vest protester photograph, you're going to see black people. You're going to see Asian people. You're going to see brown people. You're going to see white people. You're going to see First Nations. You're going to see a lot of women. You're going to see a lot of young men, a lot of older men, a lot of younger women, a lot of older women. You're going to see a great grasp, a big walk of life, a big chunk of society right there in front of you. And in nowhere, and if any of their manifests, have they say they're anti-immigration. They're not. Most Canadians are not anti-immigration. Responsible immigration, responsible government, and leaders owning their shit. All right? Looking after the economy like they should. Doing the proper number crunching when it comes to how much can we actually spend every year on outside interests. And according to the last budget, you know, they try to butter up a shit sandwich. You and I both know. It's not going to benefit Canada. You know, another, what, $19.1 billion in the hole? Way to go, Justin. Way to go, Bill Morneau. Well, they know what they're doing. They don't care. They don't care. Well, they're there, sit there and try to justify it and blame the other side for this. And, of course, always blaming Harper for what, oh, you know, Harper, what he did. Yes, he was such a terrible prime minister. At least he had money to help the Canadian public, and at least he had some better ideas when it came to getting things built. I don't agree with some of his policies that he had, especially when it came to screwing with veterans. I don't like any politician screwing with veterans, because I'm a veteran. And as I said in one of my videos, it took me about 2.5 years to get everything sorted out when it came to paperwork and phone calls and collating and networking and getting this done and getting that done and getting this signature. Yeah, and there's still veterans out there right now that are hurting because of all these new cabinet shuffles and lip service that the powers that be have given a lot of Canadian folk out there. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you see someone in a yellow vest and they're protesting, they're fighting a good fight. They're not just fighting for, you know, people who are making six figures. They're also fighting people who are making five figures, who raise families on five figures. And they're trying to make sense of all this liberal complacency. And they're definitely not a racist group. They're not a bigoted group. They're not a misogynist group. They're not sexist. They're looking after blue-collar people, right? All these bigwigs who run the corporations, it takes blue-collar people to make them rich, right? So, do the math. And another thing's brought to my attention. This comes from the Calgary Sun. You can find it on the links I'll provide it below. These so-called Muslim groups basically telling people, here we go. This is from the Calgary Sun, actually. Yeah. Alberta Muslim Public Affairs Council calls for crackdown on Canadian alt-right groups. Now, that brings me to the whole yellow vest issue, too, because some people have called the yellow vests alt-right. No. They're basically groups that want to do the right thing. There's a difference between alt-right and doing the right thing. Now, this from the Calgary Sun, dated on the 18th of March. I'll read a bit of it here for you. Well, basically what it is, I'm not going to read the whole article. You can find that yourself at the link I'll leave at the end of the page here. Basically what it is, you get these Muslim groups. Now, I'm not anti-Muslim. I'm not anti-Christian. I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm not anti-Buddhist. I'm not anti-religion. I don't care what you believe in. Believe it well. Be good to people. Care about people. But when you start finger-pointing and start blaming certain groups for things because you're scared, you're acting like a child. Now, I've actually talked to some 3%ers, and they are no way racist or bigoted or prejudiced. They're basically just a bunch of guys who want a free country. That's all it is. They want freedom for all. They want freedom for all Canadians, and it has nothing to do with hating this group of people or that group of people, or separating this group of people or that group of people. They're not fascists. They're not white supremacists, because the three percenters I know, hate to tell you, they're anti-three percenters. You know, if you're listening, hate to tell you, but some of the three percenters I know are black, and a couple of ones I've actually had conversations with are Asian. Right. So, when it comes to the whole racial divide that you're promoting, they're not racist. They don't want to divide the country, you know, and they don't want to hurt anybody. But they want to defend this nation to the best of their ability. Right? That's all they are. You know, and if you actually look at what they do for communities around major cities, especially out here in the West, they do a pretty good job for the homeless. You know, they've actually fed a lot of people. And I'll leave some more links at the bottom there for you to decide. But, you know, three percenters aren't Nazis. They're not anti-Muslim. They're not anti-Christian. They're not anti-Jewish. They're not anti-Buddhist. They're not anti-anything. They're basically anti-bullshit. And you ask them to sing the anthem, they'll sing it the old-fashioned way. They'll say, "In all thy son's command." Right? Just like the conservatives did the other day. Beautiful. Beautiful. So when it comes down to, these groups, they're not alt-right, ladies and gentlemen. They're not Nazis. They're not fascists. They're not, you know, if anyone should be afraid of anything, you should be afraid of some of the teachers on college campuses that thinks Karl Marx was a genius, you know, or who think Pol Pot was a visionary, or the educators that think, Joseph Stalin was just doing his job. Those are the people you should be afraid of. But I'm not going to sit here and try to create fear or try to add more to the fear-mongering fire. It's about knowing the truth and trying to get the truth out there, and live up to my name. That's who I am, Krusty Canuck. I'm going to get some info for you, and I'll try to dissect this country's little inconsistencies and imperfections and try to be entertaining as thorough as possible and being truthful as possible. Right. So when it comes to freedom of expression, go out there and express yourself. Doesn't matter if it's art, dance, music, you know, being a three percenter, being a yellow vest, being part of the coalition of responsible government or conservatives or Veterans Affairs. You know, get out there and fight the good fight. Don't let this SJW mentality slow you down. You know, we all know, especially people my age, we all know there's going to be days you're going to be offended or you're going to be let down somehow or you're going to be told this or told that. You know, I've worked for people that would sooner put you down than back you up. So that's life, though. All shapes and sizes. You're going to encounter that. And to my younger listeners out there, you know, I'm not going to do the whole grasshopper thing, but I'm going to tell you, chin up, carry on, do what you can. You know, not everything's going to be rosy. Not everything's going to be perfect and magical. That's the thing is magic. You make your own bloody magic. You get out there and you do it for yourself. Well, you do good things for good people. Well, it comes back to you. Whether you believe in karma or not, you know, the more good you promote, the better life gets. The more crap, well, it's going to hit you in the head. You got nobody to blame but yourself. Can't blame the system. Can't blame the patriarchy. To my feminist listeners out there, can't blame mom and dad, right? Anyhow, that's enough of my spiel for the expression. It's simple logic. I have had family members that fought for this country in World War II. I have family members that actually fought in the Boer War, you know, for the empire. Yes, for the empire, to say. But my grandfather fought the Nazis in Holland. My other grandfather was in the Air Force. He did recce missions over Newfoundland and what have you. Yeah, but he was still serving in wartime. He was ready to go. But they were on guard against the real threat, real fascism, real totalitarianism, real tyranny. Unfortunately, the tyranny that we see right now is coming into mosques and churches and killing people. So one can blame religion, one can blame the individual. Well, I somewhat blame it both, but it's the individual that took it upon himself to do what he did. And I don't think good people should have to suffer for it thereafter. My condolences to the people that have lost their lives en masse. It's just terrible. It's pitiful. But we got to get rid of the criminals. You know, you got to punish the criminals, people that are responsible. Not the gun owners, not the gun shops, not the gun manufacturers. Those who are responsible. Right? If you grab a pair of Levi's jeans and you end up catching your dork in the zipper, is it Levi's fault? Or is it your fault for not paying attention to detail? Right? So if someone buys a gun and they have intent on using it to hurt somebody, is it the manufacturer's fault? Or the salesperson's fault? No, it's the individual. Right? And like I said, our gun laws in this country, I'll say again, they're not easy. It's not easy. Like, the work is easy to learn how to do it and how to load and how to prove your weapon and how to prove this and make sure everything's good to go and how to be safe and, right? But they do a background check on you. They'd see if you're sane, if you're coherent, if you're good to go, right? Because you need two character references, two strangers, no family members, no ex-wives or ex-husbands, and they check you out. And if they don't see that you're fit to own a firearm in this country, you don't get your card. It's that simple. Well, I'm not familiar with New Zealand's gun laws, but I know they're jumping the gun, trying to ban everything now because of that one individual. So, something to think about, folks, especially this October when it comes to our federal election. Well, let's keep freedom of speech alive. Let's keep freedom of expression alive and freedom of assembly alive, too. All right? That's what it comes down to. Our personal freedoms, our personal choices. What do we do? How do we do it? All right. Well, it's, you know, lose our own freedom to do it. We don't need the government to tell us, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. You know, we elect these individuals to look after the security and the economy of this country. Let us do our thing. Anyhow, I've been Krusty Canuck, and I hope you enjoyed this this podcast. Like I say, leave your comments below, either through me on, you can reach me at YouTube under Krusty Canuck, or on Facebook under Krusty Canuck, or in the Podbean section. And you can reach me on my website, www.krustycanuck.ca. That's www.krustycanuck.ca. Leave me a comment. Leave a donation. Buy some merchandise. You can find my merchandise at teespring.com, Krusty Canuck merchandise. And every donation and or sale, I will graciously give 30% of said sale and donation to the Calgary Veterans Food Bank. I believe in helping our fellow vets out, and it's a good cause. So on this March 21st, 2019, I hope all of you a good day, enjoy, and look after your loved ones, and remember, humanity and merit wins the day. See you next time on the Krusty Canuck Podcast. Bye for now.